And that means time to have a kōrero around all things rural with Sally Murphy. Ata mari, eh?
Morera.
Now, hopes of a shake-up in the health system. This is going to better serve rural communities?
Yeah, the government announced yesterday all DHBs will be replaced with one new national body. The health minister says the new entity will strive to make sure everyone, no matter where they live, will have access to the same level of healthcare. Jill Naylor, the president of advocacy group Rural Women, says there are many problems that need to be addressed.
We have instances of a two-hour drive to breast cancer appointments, whether that be for screening, diagnosis or treatment. Going into labour at midnight within a no-cell coverage area, 3 hours drive from a hospital and the rescue helicopters on another rescue. Telehealth being offered where there's patchy coverage and little or no internet or broadband service. We are pleased that the Minister has said that the kind of treatment people get will no longer be determined by where they live, and we need to make sure that rural postcodes aren't in the losing lottery.
Jill Naylor says analysis needs to be done to make sure the changes do actually deliver benefits for rural communities. University of Otago's Rural Health Department Chair, Carol Atmore, says the government's focus of digitalisation could help better connect remote communities with healthcare if the right support and infrastructure comes with it, including the rollout of rural broadband. She's also welcoming plans to have more services at community level.
The potential to have a focus on localities where all of the primary and community care services are all meeting the needs of those communities, that could work extremely well. And it's been the kind of structure and function that a number of us have been talking about for many years. I suppose the devil is in the detail. So who describes what the community is that's covered by the locality? Who sits on the governance of that? How do community voices get heard? How do Māori voices get heard? I can see this is having enormous potential if it's implemented well.
University of Otago's Rural Health Department Chair, Carol Atmore.
Now, a warning for farmers that the Trans-Tasman bubble could make the labour market even more competitive.
Yes, New Zealand's dairy farmers are being strongly urged to do all they can to retain the staff they've already got. Both New Zealand and Australia's dairy industries are facing large labour shortfalls, with border restrictions cutting off the normal flow of overseas workers. Jane Muir from Dairy NZ says the opening of the Trans-Tasman bubble creates both challenges and opportunities.
We don't know what the impact of the Trans-Tasman bubble will be, but what we do know is that the Australian egg sector is under much pressure with staff as the New Zealand egg sector. And so we're expecting to see the competition for people in those sectors increase. We've got a very strong message going out to our New Zealand dairy farmers at the moment, which is, if at all possible, try and retain your staff. They have skills and they have experience, and so obviously, you know, this is the opportunity for everyone to put their best foot forward in terms of fabulous workplace conditions and, you know, being great bosses. We're confident that people are stepping up to that and, you know, that dairy farmers are always looking to improve in those areas. But certainly we are having a message that this is the year because it's tough out there.
That's Jane Muir from Dairy NZ, and she says that a recent survey of dairy farmers found that almost half of the sector is understaffed, with a quarter of farmers unable to fill some roles for over 6 months.
Kia ora, Sally. Thank you very much.